Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell. I will be joined today by John Canton of TGRWrestling.net, and we will be taking your calls the day after the WWE Great Balls of Fire event. The number to join us today is 773-897-6321. Once you call in and you want to chat live with us, press 1 on your phone. That will let us know that you're not just in listen-only mode. On the site today at ProWrestling.net, big story about Global Force Wrestling / Impact Wrestling, whatever they're called this week. Their champion, their unified champion, Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron, not arrested. He is being investigated due to an alleged domestic violence incident at the Orlando airport. The police refusing to confirm the identity of the woman involved. There's certainly strong suspicion that it is Paige, former WWE wrestler, actually still contracted by WWE. We just haven't seen her on television in quite some time, as those two have a very public relationship. But nothing official on that front. Again, no arrests have been made in this as of this update, but you can find out more details on the main page about that, along with my Great Balls of Fire hit list and live review. I'll be talking with John about Great Balls of Fire coming up here in just a little bit. And again, don't forget to join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw as the show airs on USA Network. At this point, at last check, there wasn't anything in particular advertised for Raw, but one thing I did find interesting is they're already questioning whether Roman Reigns deserves to be the number one contender at SummerSlam. Keep in mind that Reigns deemed himself the number one contender, wanted to face the winner of Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe, and it ended up being... It was never confirmed, I guess, by Kurt Angle. It was just Reigns making this announcement, and now, with him losing last night, and then really attempting to commit vehicular homicide on Roman Reigns, looks like they're kind of pulling back on that. And so I'll bring John into the show, and we can discuss that and other matters. Again, the number to join us at today is 773-897-6321. Press 1 on your phone to let us know that you want to join us on the show. You have a question, you have a comment, whatever the case may be, we are here the Mondays after the WWE pay-per-view events. My usual co-host, Will Pruitt, is actually traveling today, but I assume he's going to be back on July 24th, the day after WWE Battleground. With that said, let's bring John into the show. John, are you there?
I'm here, man. How's it going?
Going good, John. You're a little echoey. I don't know if there's anything you can do about it. We were kind of worried about John's connection. He's calling all the way from the great country of Canada. And John... I got to tell you, I pointed this out to Jake Barnett in .NET Weekly last week. You guys got a good thing going up there. You know, Brock kind of moved to Canada. You've got Jinder, who's from India, but really by way of Canada. And then you've got Kenny Omega winning the U.S. Championship. The Canadians are on a roll right now.
There's Kevin Owens, there's Sami Zayn, there's Natalya. There's a lot of good Canadian performers for sure. Something in the water up here. You know, your area is pretty good for wrestlers too, Minnesota, right? So... both of us come from good areas, I guess, but it's weird because Canada, like, I'm in Southern Ontario, but really the only Southern Ontario wrestlers like Bobby Roode right now, like Trish Stratus was, Val Venus was, Edge was, Christian was, but now they're not active anymore. And all the other ones are, like, in the West, but everyone in Canada claims, you know, everywhere in the country is ours, you know, so it's funny that way.
Yeah, we have a pretty good independent scene right now here, but you know, the heyday of the AWA, I think, led to so many Minnesotans getting involved. We're not exactly thriving like we once were as far as a national name, but we certainly have our fair share up there. Let's start with the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. Your thoughts, John?
Can I interrupt on real quick? Because Paige sent out some tweets about what happened with WWE and stuff.
Oh, Paige.
I don't know if you saw them yet.
I will take a look. I'll take a look for those while you tell me your thoughts on Roman Reigns attempting to commit vehicular homicide last night on Braun Strowman and where they're going with this.
Stone Cold Roman Reigns, yeah. Like, to me, the whole thing, like, if they don't use that angle to turn Braun Strowman's face, like, I don't know how else they want people to perceive it, because, you know, Braun was just, you know, as a heel, he was a bully for, you know, several months as Roman and that kind of stuff. And then at the end of this whole angle, he ends up, like, you know, emerging from an ambulance all bloody, refusing help, kind of like Stone Cold in WrestleMania 13. Not saying the match isn't good as that, obviously, but you know, in terms of the angle and stuff, I mean, the idea is that Braun walked away, you know, refusing help and all that kind of stuff. So I just think at this point, I hope it leads to Roman being a heel, but I don't know if Vince McMahon's going to pull the trigger on it, because I thought he might do it at WrestleMania and he didn't do it then, so why would he do it now? So I don't really know where they're doing. So I'm interested in what happens in Raw tonight for sure.
Yeah, one of my followers on Twitter, the sports guy, said he's surprised people thought this was a heel turn for Roman because he's just doing to Strowman what Braun did to him a couple of months ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Braun, yeah, he tipped over an ambulance, as ridiculous as that sounds, and he did push Roman off the stage when he was attached to a gurney. Kind of a big difference between that and vehicular homicide, or at least attempted vehicular homicide, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is kind of a, you know, like people were pointing out on Twitter to me also, like, you know, Stone Cold and Triple H Survivor Series 2000, he did that elevated the car thing and then drops the car and that kind of thing. Triple H comes back like a week later and he's got no bruises or anything. The Rock and Hulk Hogan angle in 2002, they drove the, you know, into the ambulance of The Rock and they drove the truck into it. So, you know, these kind of things happen once in a while. Shane McMahon and Kane, I guess, 2006 or something, whenever they feuded. So there's certain incidents that they've done over the years, and you don't see them very often. So it's kind of, you know, like we could pick it apart and stuff, but at the same time, we just kind of laugh and say it's pro wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. You know, I can talk about it, you know, being attempted vehicular homicide, and it, you know, technically that's what, the way things played out. But I even said last night in the audio review I did with Jake Barnett from members of .NET, I think they look at the reaction Strowman got for tipping over the ambulance and some of the crazier stunts, and I do wonder if it's, hey, maybe we can get a positive reaction if Roman does those things too. So I don't know what this, I mean, tonight I think is going to tell quite the story as far as where things stand with Roman. My guess is also business as usual, cheer who you want. I don't know that they're going to change the presentation as much as I wish they would. You mentioned those Paige tweets, and here's what she wrote. We got the cops involved. I'm crying because I found out bad fam news, and a lady tries to take a pic. She gets angry and throws a drink on Alberto. Please leave us alone. That's it. So she is indicating she is not the woman in question here in this alleged domestic incident. I mean, domestic, wouldn't that almost seem to imply that it was more than just a fan? I mean, maybe it's just bad wording used.
I guess they don't have airport incident, right? They can. The legal term is domestic incident. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the reason people get suspicious is because Alberto's doing these tweets every day, or, you know, every week, and he's doing promos after Impact tapings about how he wants to beat up Triple H and, you know, the guy with the big nose, as he calls him, or he wants to fight New Day and Usos because of what they said on SmackDown last week. And it's like, well, this guy seems to have anger issues or something, you know, like, so people want to worry about it, but, you know, if they say it's fine, then it's fine. And who knows? I wish them the best. And you kind of wish that people would just kept their private lives private and, you know, don't tweet, don't go on Instagram or anything at all, you know? You don't need to do that stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, I did reach out to Impact Wrestling for comment today, and nothing officially from them at this time. I'll check my email to make sure that hasn't changed. No, it hasn't yet. So if and when we get that, I'll be sure to pass that along.
How's my audio sounding? Because I'm wearing a headset on my phone, but if you want, I can take that off and just talk right into the phone.
Probably be best, yeah. It's a little, at least on my end, it sounds a little, like I say, echoey or something. Might be worth giving that a shot. While John's doing that,
okay.
I will tell you guys that the number to call is 773-897-6321. We see a lot of you in listen-only mode. Again, if you are looking to, and that's fine, but if you're looking to join the show, join in on the conversation, all you have to do is hit 1 on your phone. And that lets us know that you would like to chat with us today. With Great Balls of Fire, you know, putting the Roman thing aside, your thoughts on the overall event? Did you come away satisfied with the latest WWE Raw offering?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I do rankings out of 10, and I ranked all the other ones of the year kind of thing when I read my reviews on TJWrestling.net. And the other Raw ones, I just felt like they were mostly underwhelming this year. Like, Fastlane was pretty bad. Payback, Extreme Rules, there was nothing really that special. I thought this show was just better in terms of the matches and stuff. Everybody worked hard. Some of the finishes are bad. Like, it's a heel-heavy show, right? Like, I think the only faces that won were Sasha Banks by count out, which was, you know, a crappy finish, and then Brock Lesnar. So it's like, if you're going to have all the heel wins, you're going to have to, you know, book screwy finishes. We just, that's how wrestling works, right? So, but I thought it was really, really more of a better show. I think there's kind of an end to some feuds, like the Hardys feud with Sheamus Cesaro is over now, I think. Dean Ambrose and Miz finally over, I think. I think Sasha, Alexa, they had to add more to the story kind of thing. So that's kind of why they did the post-match angle where Sasha attacked her kind of thing, because there wasn't much heat in the feud. So, like, a lot of the booking made sense. And I think Brock, Samoa Joe, I mean, we're all expecting it. I don't know about you, but, like, I wanted 15 minutes, and we got about 7 minutes, I think, after the pre-match attack. So you kind of want more, but at the same time, maybe they're going to do more down the road, or maybe Brock at 40 years old doesn't feel like going for 15 minutes anymore, right? So no one's going to tell Brock what to do.
Well, it was about 6.5 minutes of match time, if memory serves,
yeah.
And then whatever the pre-match angle was. And, you know, I came away very satisfied with the exception of maybe the finish. And by the way, you sound much better now. The finish, it's not that I didn't expect a different outcome. You know, I that was kind of my issue going into this when they did the, I think it was the five-way to determine the number one contender. Like, I wasn't even thinking about Joe, because I was like, if you're going to do Joe Lesnar, wait for a time when you can commit to that. Not when, we're looking to fill one pay-per-view and we have something planned for the next one already. And that's what this feels like, is, you know, they're moving on to Lesnar against Reigns or Lesnar against Strowman, whatever it would be, and Joe is kind of a one and done. That said, I thought the match was entertaining enough that, John, I think they can go back to this at a later date. And I thought Jake Barnett last night in audio did a good job of saying that, you know, an easy explanation is for Joe to say, made one mistake. You know, you thought he had him, made one mistake, he's learned from it, and then you just heat things up again. I like Survivor Series, for instance, if they wanted to go back to this, I think they could. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. And Joe did some tweet about how it's not over yet or something like that, or I don't know, or it's just begun or something like that. So it seems like they're going to go back to it at some point, because it's kind of like if you look at the Raw roster and it's like, well, who are you going to pair Brock with? Because we know Brock's going to work SummerSlam. He's going to work the, I think, No Mercy, it's called, in September. And he'll probably work Survivor Series. So, yeah, at some point you're going to need to – what are you going to put Bray Wyatt there? I don't know if he's a threat. Seth Rollins, I don't know if he's being built up well enough at this point to go against Lesnar again. I mean, on paper, yes, they've had good matches in the past, but you know, I think with Joe, there's a sense of realism, and, you know, in the sense of they make it feel real. You know, they're two legit badasses. I don't know about you, but I have a bunch of readers that tell me, oh, you know, I don't watch WWE every week, but I watch Great Balls of Fire because I want to see Lesnar and Joe. So there's a lot of interest in that match, and in that sense, it's kind of, you know, it's something worth going back to. I think Joe impressed management a lot, probably. I think Paul Heyman probably had a lot of the booking control in that feud, like in terms of suggestions and ideas and stuff. And, you know, it worked out really well. I thought the anticipation level for Great Balls of Fire was high. And, you know, even though the name's ridiculous and every time you or I say it, I kind of want to laugh. I think the whole thing, it ended up well. And I'm excited for Joe Lesnar again, for sure.
Yeah, I hope they get back to it, you know, and that was the other thing. It was like, well, if they kind of have Brock's dance card filled between now and WrestleMania, and they legitimately don't know if he's going to re-sign with them, well, at least we're getting this match. You know, if they've got other plans, you can say it's the wrong decision on their part to come to go with Lesnar and other opponents rather than Joe. But if they already have everything mapped out, they have a plan in place, okay, at least we got this match. But I think Joe was impressive. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens next with him. I think that's a huge key, is the follow-up with Samoa Joe beginning tonight on Raw. It should be very interesting to see how that plays out. What do you think the SummerSlam main event is, at least the Raw side, the Universal Championship match?
Who knows? Flip a coin right now. I think they were going to do Lesnar Strowman, but maybe they have cold feet because maybe they want to get Roman involved too. Maybe they want to get Joe involved. Maybe they'll make it a four-way. I'm not a huge fan of doing that, but when you think about how both rosters are going to be involved and you want to have, you know, as much talent as you can on the show, I think doing a four-way is a possibility. I'm leaning towards Lesnar and Strowman just because, you know, it was teased after WrestleMania. Strowman beat Roman for that reason, so I don't know when I don't know what match they're going to do for sure, but I'm leaning towards Strowman and Lesnar at this point.
I am too. You know, and going into the show, that was the big question mark. It was, all right, have they changed their WrestleMania plan, which has been rumored since the last WrestleMania to be Roman against Brock Lesnar. Are they going to bump that up to SummerSlam? And my thought was, well, maybe if they don't know if Lesnar's sticking around, you want to do it now rather than wait until Mania and then run the risk that, well, everybody feels like they know the outcome of the WrestleMania main event if they sense that Brock is leaving or something. But I think they're going to stay the course. That's my best guess, is that we're getting Reigns doing something else at SummerSlam. I don't know what that is going to be. Could be Joe. I'm not quite sure. But I'm guessing we get Lesnar Strowman. I mean, you can't rule out the possibility, John, that they're going to go with some crazy three-way either.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's interest in a three-way with Roman and Braun and Lesnar, right? So that's certainly a possibility. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, and that's kind of a good thing, right? Like, that's what I mean, like, the product's pretty good at this point. Like, Raw's not a consistently great show, but in terms of matches, like, I thought Great Balls of Fire was pretty good, and I think Battleground could have some good matches. So, you know, there's a lot of talent in the entire company right now, so just a matter of using everybody right.
Well, let's go to the phone lines again. If you want to join us today at 773-897-6321 is the number to call. I am Jason Powell. He is John Canton of the John Report and johnreport.net. PJRWrestling.net. I'll get it right, John.
That's right.
And, I'll definitely be giving John a chance to tell you all about what he does. John's filling in today for Will Pruitt, who is actually flying somewhere right now, hopefully watching a really bad movie, some bad in-flight movie. But the first caller is from 434 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
What's up, guys? Johnny Fairplay.
Hey, Johnny, what's going on today?
I was just calling to see what you were wearing. Go from there.
I am wearing a Minnesota Twins T-shirt and the worst pair of shorts that I have.
All right. Fair enough. We're good. Thanks. Talk to you next week.
I watched Survivor actually when he was on, so there you go.
He knows you from Survivor, so give us a little more Johnny Fairplay.
Oh, I wasn't quite done. I was kidding around. But no, I thought it was a good pay per view. I had a pretty full house, and everyone enjoyed it. So everyone chuckled at the attempted manslaughter, and then the fleeing the scene, the hit and run. That was just as bad as the attempted murder.
Yeah, it was quite the scene. Johnny, where do you think they're going with this? What do you think the SummerSlam main event is?
I was hoping for a Roman win so we could go ahead and get this, you know, failed Roman babyface world champion or universal champion experiment over with. But now I think we're getting Braun versus Brock at SummerSlam, and I think Brock beats Braun, and then we go to WrestleMania, and then what everyone wants to see, Roman Reigns defeats the unconquerable Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I'm guessing in Vince's mind that'll do it. You know, the attempted vehicular homicide, and then he finally beats Brock. Maybe he can beat Cena somewhere along the way too, and then everyone is suddenly going to love Roman Reigns. It's never going to happen that way. It's not like Roman's
no.
a failure, but I still think he'd be far more successful if they just slot him as a heel. Tonight it feels like there's an opportunity there to do it, but John Canton. I mean, you and I talked about it. I don't think they're going to do it. I think this is just going to be business as usual.
Yeah, can we get the Usos over on Raw and pair them with their cousin Roman Reigns, and they'd be awesome together, like as a heel trio. Like that'd be amazing to see because the Usos are killing it right now. Roman would probably fit in very well. But yeah, it just seems lost as a face right now. Just. Seems like he's miscast. It's like an actor being cast in a movie in the wrong role kind of thing. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. It's just the fans are rejecting it. It's been 3 years or two and a half years, so let's kind of move on from it, you know?
And Johnny Fairplay, what are you wearing today?
khakis. Shirt. I'm showing real estate today. I'm actually being a productive member of society and working. So nothing too extravagant. So I am hoping tonight though for a nice the police show up to arrest Roman Reigns segment, you know, to get babyface sympathy, you know, from the fans, and then to hear them cheer and love, you know, Roman being arrested. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we get that, Johnny. I'm pleasantly surprised you didn't say that shave butter that Bruce Pritchard was trying to sell you on.
I get the shave butter. I got it last week. The Dollar Shave Club. It's good. They're right. I'm hooked. So I don't shave it off.
I don't want to know what you're using that for. Oh man, I don't want to know.
I know. So, but which guy? Do you think that the 9-stitch laceration to Matt Hardy's face is enough to break him? Is that, I mean, I was hoping last night something really bad would happen to Matt Hardy, and you know, not because I don't like Matt, but you know, just I wanted something to break him. Was 9 stitches enough, or kind of anticlimactic?
John Kane, I'll leave that one to you. Is Matt Hardy going to be broken now?
I hope so. I mean, I think the crowd's ready for it. They're chanting the delete thing whenever he's ramming people's heads into the turnbuckles, and he's teasing it on Twitter every day. It seems like so. Like, I hope so. I hope it's soon. That was a nasty cut to the head, though. It was like when he hit Sheamus's head. I guess he got cut open, but yeah, it was a nasty cut.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it really just comes down to when and if the Hardys and Anthem Sports can work out some sort of an agreement. I don't know where things stand. I mean, the last update was they were still chatting, but that was a while ago. That was probably a week or two ago, and I haven't really heard any update since then. Now, you know, it's not like I've been pursuing it. I'd feel better if it was I was asking people who normally give me updates, and they were kind of saying no comment, because that would be an indication that, hey, there's probably something happening here. I don't know where things go. Rebby had a little fun with it on Twitter after the show last night. I don't know that losing, I mean, obviously, Johnny, the stitches weren't planned, and losing in the way they did, I didn't watch that thinking that, oh, this is the, you know, they're broken now. I do think there's a chance that this could all be leading up to it if they can get the rights to it, though, Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were kind of in cruise control getting us to another rematch at SummerSlam, which is fine. But I was hoping that rematch at SummerSlam would consist of broken Hardys and not the current, you know, edition of the Hardys.
And maybe it will, you know, because like I said, everything we've seen so far with them losing the titles and losing the way they did last night, we haven't seen that one moment where they'd necessarily be broken. But, you know, if more happens, kind of a slow build toward it, maybe something happens on Raw where you get that moment at SummerSlam. But again, it all comes down to just what the agreement, if there is one with Anthem, consists of, when it occurs, when and if it occurs. Anything else today, Johnny?
Last thing. For at the beginning of Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks, and I mean, I had seen the double jointed spot before on SmackDown, but I kind of forgotten. So.
Yeah.
I know you don't do a star system, but Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss in the ring, 10 minutes, not really necessary for them to do a wrestling hold, you know, maybe some kind of lockup involving mouths and double jointedness. Would you give that over 6 stars?
Wow. I'm now bumping Johnny Fairplay from the show, you sexist pig. Johnny, shame on him. I'm not saying I wouldn't. We'll just say that much. John, what did you think of that, Matt? You talked about it a little bit earlier. I was kind of having a hard time making out what you were saying at that point just because of the headset you were using. But I know you had some comment about that. I think you said you didn't like the finish.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think with Sasha and Alexa, what they had to do, they didn't have much of a story going in, right? I think Sasha was number one contender for, like, 2 weeks. So then she kind of had to get heat somehow. So I guess that's why they did the count-out, but no one likes a count-out win on a pay-per-view. That's what I mean. Like, no one likes to finish. But I did like the post-match attack and then the double knee strike, like, off the announce table. Like, that was a cool move and stuff. So, yeah, the double-jointed arm by Alexa Bliss is pretty cool to see. So, it was a cool moment. I thought that match was good, but I just don't like the count-out finish. Like, the heel just stands outside the ring and gets counted out. Like, they do that on TV sometimes. It's fine, I guess, but on a pay-per-view, you kind of expect a little bit better of a finish. That's all.
We were just going to go to 215, but 215 dropped off. We'll see if 215 calls back in. I was okay with the finish, only because I just did have the expectation going into this that we're going to see a lot of setup for SummerSlam. And I think, you know, we saw that with the show opening match, not the the kickoff show, which we may get that again. But Wyatt and Rollins, Wyatt going over didn't surprise me. I think, you know, heel wins the first match of the feud, and they'll go from there. I think this was – I know what you're saying about the countout, and normally I do agree that, all right, it just it feels lazy. I was oddly okay with this one because it does play into her character, and they at least did try to make some effort to put the heat on her by having her take the shot at Sasha from the ring apron and then just clearly, you know, intentionally get herself counted out. Maybe, I don't know, is it, John, a little too close to what they did with the Usos and New Day earlier this month, or last month, I guess?
Exactly. That was a count finish, wasn't it? They just walked away, right? So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you do it twice in a month, like, come on, that's a little too much. So, but that's what you book when you can't really think of a finish, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Hey, again, the number 773-897-6321. Remember to press 1 on your phone if you would like to chat with us. I see some of you guys on hold in listen-only mode right now. If you're like, hey, why aren't you coming to me? Well, it's because you are in listen-only mode, but you can change that by hitting 1 on your phone. 215, I saw you were you're back on the line, and you were in call mode at one point. If you're looking to get onto the show, hit 1 on your phone, and we will go to you. But if not, that's fine. I just I saw you dropped off and wanted to give you a chance to get back on quickly. But right now you're not listed as looking to join the show. So change that. If anyone's having any issues with that, you can email me at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out. dotnetjason@gmail.com. John, this is a great time for you to tell people about what you do with the John Report, TGR Wrestling, TJRWrestling.net. I'll get it right one of these times.
Yeah, years ago I just stole the Ross report with Jim Ross's thing, and I just kind of put the John report, so there you go. It wasn't very creative. and that was probably 15 years ago. And yeah, TJWrestling.net, I write reviews of Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, previews of everything. We got news stories, we got other columnists writing stuff. Similar to your site, just, you know, everyone's got a perspective, that kind of thing. So I use star ratings to review matches. I know some people don't like those, but I feel like it's a good way to document what I'm doing and kind of, you know, say this match was 4.5 stars, this match was 4, you know. So if you write down that a match is very good, well, we all know they're very good. So I kind of like the star ratings and
yeah,
just that kind of thing. And I've been doing this for about 15 years and since 2009 full time. So things are going well. I also write at thecomeback.com. I do 2 columns a week there. So. Or 3 columns a week there, so check that out also. And I appreciate you having me on. I've known you for many years, and we've done a few audio shows in the last couple of months, so that's great.
Yeah, we bonded way back in my Torch days, and you were a big Rams fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big Vikings fan, and so we bonded over football, of all things, more so than wrestling. But we've kind of stayed in touch over the years, and it's been good to reconnect with you. And I definitely enjoyed being on your show. Happy to have you here today. So be sure to check out John's work. And, John, I don't know if you mentioned it. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, at John Report. I've been trying to get the name at John Canton for many years. But somebody has it and has never tweeted or something. So I'm at John Report, and that's where, you know, I tweet about wrestling usually and some football and some making fun of American politics and stuff like that. So there you go.
Very cool. Drew Main from Chicago brings you up on Twitter. He says that he wanted to say that you're a really good dude. This is by email. You're a really good dude to follow on Twitter. He is good with wrestling, the Rams, and the Blue Jays. He says, my question is a couple of them. To start with, he says, do you see Finn Balor and The Miz at SummerSlam and Ambrose moving on to Big Cass as his first program? We'll start with that one. Your thoughts on either scenario?
I think Big Cass versus Big Show is the most likely just because they teased it a couple of months ago, and you had Enzo saved by Big Show a couple of times.
I'm with you.
So it makes sense, battle of the big guys, right? The guys are big in their names against each other, so Vince McMahon can have a, you know, he get all excited about that, 2 7-footers. So I think that, what was the other one, Finn Balor? I think Finn Balor and Miz is a good feud, but they kind of did Finn Balor and Elias Samson. I don't know if they're going to follow that. But I think Finn Balor versus Miz would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I could see certainly Big Show, Big Cass, and Balor-Miz makes as much sense as anything. I just hope that this whole thing with Ambrose and Miz is over. It's just not doing – I think Miz is fine. I mean, he's just kind of in that role. I mean, not that he wouldn't be better off working with somebody else at this point. But Ambrose is really losing momentum, and it's because he just faces the same guy. You know, month after month, pay-per-view matches, started on SmackDown, back to Raw. Hell, it probably started on Raw back in the day. And I think people, you could just sense it with the crowd last night. They were not as into that match when it started as they were anything else on that show, really. I mean, they eventually, to the credit of the wrestlers, they started to get into it by the end. You know, they were up for the finish and all of that. But, yeah, just a little disappointing. His second question, he says, you guys get, do you get a different feeling with the with SmackDown and Raw? He says, I feel fans and the crowd are more invested. They have way more guys over and a lot of Roman fatigue on Raw. Am I on to something? So he thinks at this point, first he wants to know if we feel there's a different vibe, I guess, for SmackDown and Raw, and he feels like SmackDown is doing a better job. How do you feel, John?
Well, yeah, I think SmackDown's a better show. I think it's almost 1 year now since the draft, right? It was July 23rd, I think, was the split, the first show or something. So,
oh, yeah, I guess we are coming up on that milestone.
Yeah, so time to write 1 year anniversary columns, I guess, in the next week or two. But, yeah, it's I think SmackDown's clearly the better show. They seem to utilize the entire roster better, like in terms of, especially the women. I think, like, if you look at the women, the Money in the Bank, and the Raw women, it's like Raw can only seem to book two women at a time while, you know, all these other women are sitting in the back doing nothing. And it's just like, you know, and tag team division, like, is there any other face tag team on Raw other than the Hardys right now? No. I think Slater and Rhino maybe. So there's like no depth on the roster. Even though the show's 3 hours and there's more time for it, like, it's like Goldust and R-Truth. What have they done for 2 months? They've kind of teased having a match, and they still haven't had the match. It's like, what's going on? So there's still faults with SmackDown. Like, Ty Dillinger disappeared after he got called up. American Alpha disappeared as a team, although Gable's got TV time as himself. Certain things like that, like some things, like, it's not perfect, but I think SmackDown's definitely the better of the two shows and has been for the last year, so... And I think John Cena being on both shows is WWE's way of helping Raw because they know it's not as good. And John Cena doing promos and appearing on Raw is going to lead to more viewers. So that's WWE's admission that Raw is not doing that great right now, I think.
You know, I have agreed for, well, up until recently, and now it's not that it's completely shifted. But I do think, and some of it is coming off this hot pay-per-view, and SmackDown looking ahead to what they are doing on their pay-per-view, I guess I'm feeling it a little bit more with Raw right now. You very fair points about the people you've mentioned that they're not doing a good job with. The Big Four, Joe is now in that mix with Lesnar and Roman and Strowman, easy for me to say. But they're doing a nice job with the Big Four. I'm with you. I wish they would do more to build up some of the other tag teams on the Raw side of things. The women's division, they don't do as good of a job with, no. But I think that it does feel like things are starting to come together a little bit nicer on the Raw side. Where on SmackDown, I like the talent they have. I get a little frustrated watching it because it feels like certain guys are in holding patterns. I don't feel like they're really doing much with Shinsuke right now. AJ won the U.S. Championship, and that's something, but he hasn't been a featured player on the show. And then I look ahead to the SmackDown pay-per-view, and I see Punjabi prison match, I see a flag match, and it's kind of hard for me to get all fired up about this. And then you have AJ going against Owens, who's the face of America. The top three matches on the SmackDown pay-per-view are basically about you go USA, try to beat the foreign menace. As a Canadian, John, I get tired of it watching it as an American. How do you feel as a Canadian watching that?
We think it's funny, like it's cheesy and stuff like that. It's Vince McMahon's old habit to go to, you know, like, you know, rip on America, get some heat. Like Rusev's back to being the anti-American guy. And then, yeah, Kevin Owens, I mean, the face of America thing is going to lose steam now that he doesn't have a title anymore. I don't think you can really do that anymore. So, Ginger's from Calgary and stuff, so here we go, you know, make him seem like he's from India only, even though he's probably never been there, or maybe he's only been there a couple times in his life, probably. So, yeah, it is cheesy. I think that's a good point. That SmackDown is struggling a little bit. I think since the Superstar shakeup, it's been more even. But before that, like, lead up to WrestleMania, that stuff, SmackDown was way ahead. But now it's more even, so. And Lesnar's presence helps, because Lesnar being on the show, and especially Paul Heyman's promos, like, that certainly helps the star power in the promos and the matches. You know, excitement level and stuff. Not that Lesnar wrestles, but, you know, the excitement level of the matches, that's all.
And oddly enough, you know, we talk about SmackDown doing a better job, and I agree with the talent that they have. And you mentioned some of the acts that are a bit lost for whatever reason. Raw, even though you mentioned Goldust and R-Truth, they're using them at least. You know, I don't know. I guess there's only so many matches they want to put on a pay-per-view. But they're doing something with those guys. Where for a while they weren't doing anything with them, and now they're starting to utilize Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. I'm still not sold on the Miztourage. I don't really see much in the way of chemistry there, but still letting it unfold and seeing where it goes. But it does feel like they're starting to do more. Now there are some, the Revival, you know, what are they up to? They're not really doing anything with them. So there are some acts, but I feel like they're starting to do a better job with some of the undercard talent, at least finding roles for them. But it's a nice debate to have, because had somebody asked me this probably even a month ago, I would have been going, oh, SmackDown easily. And it did come up in the Q&A audio show quite a bit. Speaking of which, normally on Mondays, .NET members are listening to my Q&A audio show, where they submit questions and I give them answers on wrestling topics. Then we have some non-wrestling fun at the end of the show. However, with ProWrestling.net Live being on the air today, that show gets bumped. But I want to tell you about .NET membership and all the audio content we have. Jake Barnett and I got together last night for, I think it was 65 minutes to discuss the WWE Great Balls of Fire event. We have audio updates exclusively for members coming out of all of the major pro wrestling television shows and pay-per-view events, including, obviously, Great Balls of Fire, but we also had, reviews of the New Japan Pro Wrestling specials that aired on Access, and then the second one on New Japan World, Impact Wrestling Slammiversary. TV-wise, we have Ring of Honor, NXT, the Impact Wrestling television show, if I didn't mention that, and the list just goes on. Lucha Underground, John Moore covers does a fine job of covering that, and, of course, Raw and SmackDown. And so if audio is your thing, if you're listening to this show, I trust that it is, know that we have a ton of it available exclusively for the members. And all you have to do to sign up for membership is visit the main page at ProWrestling.net, and it is the ad-free version of the site that you are signing up for. Click into our sign-up area, three different pricing options available to you. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You want to save yourself some money. There is a six-month option and also an annual option, and that annual option will bring the price down $2 a month, making it an average of $5.50 per month. Again, all the details available at ProWrestling.net. With the business out of the way, a couple of other things here. Oh, I should throw out the phone numbers again for people. It's 773-897-6321 is the number to call. I am Jason Powell. He is John Canton, and we are taking your calls on ProWrestling.net Live. We are here the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events, so that means that Will Pruitt and I will get together, assuming Will's not flying somewhere as he is today, on July 24th. That's the day after WWE Battleground, and I'm guessing we'll have some special bonus live shows for the SummerSlam week, as we've been known to do in the past. But, John, a couple of other topics here. Austin Aries leaving WWE. It was described as the two sides coming to a mutual agreement, essentially, on his contractual release. Are you surprised? And where do you see Aries going from here?
It's one of those situations that sucks, because he celebrated him getting signed, I think it was early 2016. And he was at that point in NXT, and it's like, wow, finally he's in WWE. And then they call him up to the main roster as an announcer for the Cruiserweights, and then it's like they put him with Neville. He gets three pay-per-view matches, and I think he probably felt like, you know, they're not going to push me on the main roster as a regular wrestler, then I don't want to be in the Cruiserweight division just hanging around like a, you know, for example, like a Brian Kendrick, who's got a good role, but he's not getting pushed, right? And, like, Kendrick's shooting with Gallagher at this point. He's shooting with Chisawa before, so... I think he just probably was frustrated. So I don't know if it was mutual or if it was just a case of him complaining and then saying, okay, we'll let you go. And you look at all the other things going on in the business, like with New Japan and then Global Force Wrestling, the relaunch with Jeff Jarrett, in Ring of Honor, there's a lot of options for him, and I think he can make good money elsewhere. So he got to wrestle at WrestleMania, even though he wasn't on the Blu-ray version of it, the DVD version of it.
Which is ridiculous.
And so, yeah, so that's a good thing for him. It was probably a goal in his career, so he got to wrestle on a WrestleMania. And now that is done, it's, you know, he's moving on. And the weird thing is his girlfriend, Thea Trinidad, just got signed a couple months ago, and
right.
Now he's gone. So that's kind of weird. But, you know, we've seen a lot of relationships in wrestling. People are in different companies, and they could be fine. So I wish him the best. He's a good talent and been good for 15 years, right? So I hope it works out for him, whatever he does. I'm a little surprised by it. I don't know about you, but I thought he would stick around, but. If he wants to leave, then if someone's unhappy at their job, then let them leave, right? That's what I say.
Yeah, you know, I can't be, with the, maybe the exception of Neville, I wouldn't blame anybody for going, screw this, you know, because 205 Live is a disaster. They don't care about it. They don't care about the cruiserweight division. And I think Aries got what he could out of this. And I don't know what reason he had for being cool with this. I mean, whether he asked for the release or not, he put it out there that, you know, he was happy with this decision. It's a good day, or whatever the tweet was. You know, he had his run with Neville. They didn't do a title change and was like, well, where's he going to go from here? And I think there's still, you know, a lot of casual fans that think that, well, if you're in WWE, you're probably making a ton of money. I don't know that those cruiserweights are necessarily making a ton of money. And for a guy like Aries, you know, a lot of it is he wants, I think, some creative fulfillment. And obviously, financially, he wants to be satisfied as well. So I don't know what he was making financially, but I'd say good for him for getting out of there, because they clearly didn't have any real plan beyond the program that he had for the Cruiserweight Championship, it seemed, at least to me. I guess we didn't get to a point to find out what was next, but it just really was like, all right, he's done that, and then you just kind of go into that shuffle of the other guys on 205 Live. It's a shame. I don't, you know, as far as Impact Wrestling is concerned, they're not breaking the bank for anyone, you know, that. So I don't know. I mean, I talked with some, or exchanged notes with somebody who said he lives about, I think, 2 hours away or so from Orlando, I think is what it was, in Clearwater. I don't know my Florida geography very well. So, because that was my thought, was, well, maybe he just goes back there. But I'm reminded that, you know, they don't exactly pay well either. So if it's an issue of pay, you know, who knows, but if he can get a deal where he does some shots for them, but he's not exclusive to them, well, maybe that's different. But I do think Ring of Honor, New Japan, I think there's certainly going to be some options for Austin Aries if that's what he chooses. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for him. And I would love to think that this is a wake-up call for WWE when it comes to what they've done with the Cruiserweights. I doubt that it is. I think there are certainly people in the company who know that it's a mess right now and they should be doing more. But as far as, like, the real key decision makers, Vince McMahon, I just don't think he cares, and it's a damn shame. Again, the number to call is 773-897-6321. We are here until the top of the hour. We do have some questions from Casey from Laredo, Texas. He was a .NET member at one point. I don't know if he still is or not, but always good to hear from Casey. He asked about Miz's opponent. We kind of touched on that by saying, you know, Finn Balor's a possibility. I don't think he can rule out Dean Ambrose, John, because, well, they just can't get enough of that program. Anyone else come to
no
mind?
No more, please.
Yeah, exactly. But anyone else coming to mind?
I mean, Seth Rollins could. He's never really gone after that title, but it'd be kind of a big drop-off for him at this point, so I don't know if they're going to do that with him. There's some other faces, I guess, but I don't know. I think Balor's the best choice, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
that's my guess. Is for it. I can't really. I mean, Rollins, I think, is kind of locked in this program with Bray Wyatt. One of the other questions he had: do you think Seth is going down the card since he isn't, quote, main eventing anymore?
Yeah, I mean, he was the opener in a match that went 12 minutes and got, like, no hype, really, no real interest in terms of the crowd support and stuff like that, and the finish was flat to that match. I thought it was just, what was it, like an eye poke, and then he hit the Sister Abigail, that was it. It's like, that was probably Seth Rollins' worst pay-per-view match.
Yeah,
and
it
was still average. It was average,
yeah.
But for Seth Rollins, it's below average, right? So.
And I don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with being in the pay-per-view opening slot. We've seen some pretty big matches being put there. It, you know, times have changed in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, clearly he's facing Bray Wyatt in a feud where they don't seem to know what to do with either guy, and so they put them together. It kind of feels, even though Bray won the first one, we don't know where things are going. It does feel like that WWE parody booking is going to happen in this feud where, all right, Bray got the first one, Seth will win the second one, and they're just going to keep this going. I'm not all that fired up about it. I did have a reader said, I mentioned this in my hit list today, that, you know, somebody said that basically all three S.H.I.E.L.D. members lost last night. And wouldn't it be cool if they got back together and were to run roughshod over WWE? And, you know, at this point, as heels, I'm all for it. I think it would be quite the twist. And you get Roman as the lead heel and Rollins and Ambrose kind of doing their thing. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's a hell of an idea, John.
I would tease it and then have Ambrose turn heel on the other two. That's sure. What I would do. Assuming they're keeping Roman face, even though they shouldn't, like we said before. But if we assume Vince is going to keep it that way, then, you know. I think, I don't know if you ever heard when Roman was on Jericho's podcast around WrestleMania time, but he made the point. He's like, we wanted to do a face run in 2014, but they had to do the turn because CM Punk left and Daniel Bryan was hurt. So he needed to create main eventers, right? So that's why the Shield ending kind of was abrupt. So they never really got to do the face run. And, you know, it would be cool, I think, for nostalgia's sake. I guess the nostalgia count when it was only 3 years ago when they were together. So I don't know if that's a thing for 3 years. But I think there's definitely some value in the Shield as a group. But who are they going to go against? There's really no other force right now. The Miz and his entourage? Like, I don't know. Who else is there, right? So
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you go ahead. I was finished.
Sure. I was going to say that's the thing I worry about is, like, they think that there's, hey, let's put the Shield back together for a feud with Miz and the Entourage. No. And I don't think that's what they want to do. If they're going to put the Shield back together, I'd actually like to see them be heels. I think there's money in a babyface run for the trio. But who are the heels? You know, that's why we look at Miz Taraj like, well, there's no other real three-man group out there. And, yeah, they could do something with other heels on the roster. They don't have to necessarily be that built-in trio. But I think they're good at, you know, you mentioned Reigns and the Usos together as heels earlier. Why not these three guys? Not like Ambrose and Rollins have anything going.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't do the Reigns and Usos thing. Like, even as a face trio, like, they're not only cousins, they're best friends. Like, Roman grew up with them, they're the same age and all that kind of stuff. So, chemistry would have been there. I don't know what they're doing with Roman. Like, I don't know about you, but I get the question about Roman almost every day. Like, when's he going to turn heel? Why don't they book him this way?
Right.
Everybody's frustrated by it, and I think that's holding the company back a little bit from reaching that next level, you know? Because we don't really know what the role of Roman. Like, Vince McMahon sees Roman as the next Cena, Stone Cold, Hogan, but the fans don't. So at some point, you got to listen to the fans, I think. So
that, you know, I'm with you because it feels like their answer would be, well, yeah, the fact that everybody's talking about it, that means it's a good thing, and you just don't get it. It's like, well, I tend to think that, you know, I get it. He gets a reaction. It's not that he's a failure. It's that I think he would be more successful if he were cast as a heel. I still feel he's miscast. But, I don't know when they'll pull the trigger. The storyline opportunity is certainly there going into tonight's Raw. Casey also says, your thoughts on Bullet Club taking over America. It says AJ Styles is the U.S. champion and Kenny Omega is a U.S. champion. So there you go. Your thoughts on that?
Kenny Omega, another Canadian wrestler, by the way. He's probably the best of them all right now. I'm so impressed by Kenny Omega. I've been watching more New Japan the last probably year, and he's just an amazing performer. Like, the matches he had in the last couple of weeks when they were in Long Beach, like, he was incredible. And every match, I think, he's great. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool that there's that connection. And I think when Omega's a free agent, I think February 2018, like, if he goes to WWE, like, that could be a big thing, because I think their star power is bigger than the average fan thinks. So it could be a big thing.
Do you think they would put him on the main roster or put him in NXT?
I think he would get a deal similar to what AJ gets. And from what I understand, AJ is getting good money. So if you're paying guy good money, you're not going to put him in NXT. So, but I think Nakamura got good money to put him in NXT. So you never know, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of seems to be the way they do things. There are exceptions, you know, and it's oddly enough, Bullet Club guys, Styles, Gallows, Anderson. I still think Gallows and Anderson, as much as I was happy to see them on the main roster, in retrospect, maybe they would have benefited from 6 months down there of just being booked properly and you know, kind of building up some momentum heading into their main roster debut, because it's been really disappointing. I don't know what they would do. I mean, Omega could drive a hard bargain and say, you know, maybe, you know, I'll come in, but I'm not going to NXT, or maybe he'd want to. I don't know. He would certainly be – he'd fit in very well down there. I don't think he needs to be there, but neither does Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre, and, you know, clearly they want faces for that brand. I mean, you don't need – there's no reason Bobby Roode couldn't be on the main roster. There was no reason Shinsuke Nakamura had to be there for a full year, and there's a long list of guys that don't need that, but they've ended up taking that approach with them. And so, yeah, I don't know what their idea would be with Omega. But you said, did you watch both of the New Japan specials, the G1 specials?
Yeah, I did. They carried it on the Fight Network in Canada. So the first one that was live, and then I watched the second one a few days later. And, yeah, he's just amazing talent. The way he could work, he could talk, he's got the character down. I just think all-around talent, Omega's, like, as good as anyone right now. So... And Steve Austin said that on his podcast last week. He's like, I was so impressed by this guy because he was at the show and he got to talk to him and all this stuff. Like, if WWE put him on the roster, gave him the big push, he could take off. And I think Stone Cold's right. So I hope it happens. But who knows? I think Kenny could stay in Japan and be happy the rest of his career too. So I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, and that's kind of the fun of Kenny Omega, is he's going to leave you guessing, no matter what, you know, even if he knows what his future holds, I think he's going to leave you guessing for a little while. How do you, after watching those two shows, and you said you've been watching more of it over the last year, how big can New Japan Pro Wrestling get in North America in your mind?
I mean, if I was them, I would focus on the big cities. Like, if they went to Toronto, like, I'm 2 hours from Toronto, I know what the fans are like there. They could fill a 5,000-seat arena in Toronto and probably almost sell out or come close if they promote it right. If they have Omega, Cody, the Young Bucks. Like, if they do the big markets, but if they do smaller markets, probably wouldn't be a good idea. But if you do Toronto, Chicago, New York, that kind of thing, I think they could do well. So it's all about marketing.
I don't know that they're going to flirt with WWE anytime soon. I mean, he's talking about running, you know, 20,000-seat venues, and I'd love to see it and all, but I do think that was a good first step. You know, and really there have been steps before that. They've done a lot with Ring of Honor. But I do think that interest is growing in this product. And a lot of just overwhelmingly positive feedback that I've gotten on those shows from people who like the style, the more sports-like approach. One of the controversies coming out of the show, though, is the broadcast team drama. You've had Tama Tonga taking a jab at Jim Ross, saying at least Kevin Kelly, I don't even know if he mentioned him by name, knows our names. Kenny Omega, I guess, made a comment at some point, too. And so there have been some, and then you had the Young Bucks. I guess they and Josh Barnett don't exactly see eye to eye when it comes to styles. Your thoughts on all of that mess?
Yeah, I saw JR commented on it, I think, on the Two Man of Wrestling podcast or something. It came out today. They sent out a release.
Yeah.
And he just kind of said that the guys with Axis have never produced wrestling before, like live. So they're used to doing MMA and stuff. So JR said a lot of things are different than what he's been used to for the last 35 years, right? And I'm sure you've talked to JR many times, I know, and he's, you know, I'm sure he enjoys doing the New Japan product, but it's definitely harder for him. So it's a different sport kind of thing, the way it's presented in WWE, different kind of fan base. And, you know, I think a wrestler like Tama Tonga should show more respect for Jim Ross and be happy that they're being on, you know, national cable television. So keep it to yourself, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, be a pro, criticism. I think, you know, Jim Ross certainly isn't immune to criticism. But at the same time, I was surprised to see Tama Tonga take to Twitter to make that statement. I mean, he can. It's his right. I just, you know, it did kind of feel similar, like, really? You got to go public with this? But so I know there's two sides to the story. I know there's been some, you know, a little bit of a finger pointing as far as, you know, who's actually fueling all this negativity and everything and trying to potentially take the access spot once Jim Ross leaves. I will say I think Jim Ross should be watching Ring of Honor. I think Josh Barnett should be watching Ring of Honor. There's enough New Japan talent that makes its way to Ring of Honor television. More importantly, if they're going to be covering New Japan shows, there's going to be a lot of Ring of Honor talent on those shows. And so I think that, yeah, JR should know, and they both should, who Jay and Mark Briscoe are. You know, mistakes happen, and I was far more forgiving when it came to mistakes made during that 10-man tag match where there were, like, four masked wrestlers, and it's like, I know the audience that follows New Japan closely wants is going to be they're going to be pretty tough, I think, on anybody in that role. They're going to have certain expectations, just like WWE fans did when, say, Mike Adamley took over and he called him Jeff Hardy, Jeff Harvey. You know, and it's a mistake, but WWE fans are going to be fired up about it. Now, what the hell, dude? And so I get there's going to be some scrutiny for Jim Ross not knowing certain names and Josh Barnett as well. You know, I think that's fair. I do think the pros of having JR calling the show, given his platform with, you know, over a million followers on Twitter, the Ross Report podcast, and just the stigma.
The
having,
legend.
Yeah, yeah, having JR call the shows. I think the pros outweigh the cons. And, the buzz is that his deal is up, I believe, in January with Access. And then because of his WWE deal, there's no way of knowing if he's going to be sticking around. You know, that it's. I think it's going to come down to whether Vince McMahon is going to allow him to re-sign, and nobody seems to think that's going to happen. So I guess that kind of goes back to what Tama Tonga, what he said. I'm just kind of left going, well, why? If he's probably leaving anyway, and New Japan doesn't have any more shows scheduled for North America in 2017, why not just, you know, let this, even if you're bitter about it, just kind of bite your tongue and know that it's probably ending soon.
Yeah, like, text your buddies about it. Don't put it on Twitter. Like, I don't understand why wrestlers complain on Twitter just to get attention, I guess, and try to get fan support, but I don't know. Just text your buddies about it and complain. Don't put it on Twitter.
Yeah,
I mean.
And again, it's his right. You know, he can, but I think it leaves him vulnerable to us saying just that, you know, be a pro. At the same time, fans who are down on JR, they have their right. You know, and I'm far less concerned with fan reaction and them voicing their displeasure on Twitter than I am one of the crew. You know, one of the wrestlers on the crew. I was surprised by it, that he took the approach he did. Kind of to wrap things up here today, AJ Styles wins the U.S. Championship at the Madison Square Garden house show on Friday.
Yeah.
And I think you attend shows in Toronto. Does this leave you going, boy, maybe they could do a title change in my city next time.
Yeah, I live in London, Ontario, 2 hours west of Toronto and 2 hours east of Detroit. So they come all the time. They come twice a year. We get live events. I got one on a Sunday night in August. So, and I love those shows. They're a lot of fun. But, yeah, we won't get one. But, I mean, to do it in MSG, I think doing it in MSG is great because it's the most famous arena. Everyone knows about it. Friday night, everyone was buzzing about it. If you did it on TV, you know, probably means more, I guess. But fans of today are like, they get mad because they're entitled. They feel like, we need to see the match. Why don't we get to see the match? Why don't we get to see the title change? And I'm like, they wrestled at the last pay-per-view, like two pay-per-views ago. They're going to probably have a match at Battleground again. They already announced that. So you're going to see it anyway. So what's the difference? Who's holding the title, right? So there's like 9 titles in the company right now. If they want to change the title at a house show, then what's the big deal? That's what I say.
Yeah, I don't know that it does big things for WWE house show attendance. I mean, I think a young fan may feel like there's a chance that, you know, whatever their smallest city is that they run, a young fan going to that show might feel like, hey, I might see a title change tonight, even, you know, before this happens. I think most people, once you get to a certain age, you just assume that unless you live in a big market, the odds are extremely slim. And even if you live in a big market, yeah. But, you know, hey, maybe if you're somebody who lives in Chicago or L.A. or just, you know, one of the bigger markets, you're looking at this going, eh, maybe, you know, they did it there, could be. But that's the thing. They've done this over the years at different points where it's like the idea was, you know, it's going to kind of beef up the house show business a little bit if we do a title change. And It almost feels like something you need to follow through on fairly consistently, because it's like, yeah, you did it once, and it just doesn't feel like it's going to happen again anytime soon. But a cool moment, I think, a cool moment for the New York crowd that was there. I think, you know, good buzz for them, and you know, again, maybe it helps the big markets. I don't think it hurts business any. I don't mind that they did it. It doesn't bother me at all that they did it. And so I think, you know, good move. How are you feeling about your guy, Owens, you know, fellow Canadian, not holding the face of America, not holding the championship any longer?
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked Sami Zayn to be the one to beat him, because I think Sami getting a title would really help him at this point. I don't think AJ needs it, but they've probably done Sami and Kevin too much already. So I watched the Kevin Owens DVD. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but
I have
the
not
documentaries
yet.
And the documentary is an hour long, and they show a lot of Ring of Honor stuff. Like, they spend 20 minutes on Ring of Honor talking about this whole story there with Sami and Jimmy Jacobs and Steve Corino and stuff like that. So that's a really good DVD about Kevin Owens. And it was cool because after he won the Universal title, the first person he hugged is Sami, and then he said to Sami, "This is ours." So that was like a really good moment. Like, you know, you don't want fans to see it on television, but you can see it on DVD, right? So, yeah, I think KO will be fine. Like, I think with KO and AJ, I want both of them in the WWE title picture. So, you know, the U.S. title's fine, but I want them to do more too, you know? So at some point, they'll probably do AJ versus Jinder, because, you know, AJ will probably give them the best matches possible. So that'll help anyway.
But yeah.
Well, I think Owens will be fine.
I'm sure he will. Yeah, absolutely. I know there's a lot of concern that, you know, is he injured? Is that why they did it? Because he's had the thumb injury, and, you know, he was working the house show on, you know, Sunday night, I assume on Saturday night as well. And so it looks like, I almost positive he was. I'll double-check the results here as I talk, but I'm pretty sure he worked on
yeah,
Sunday's house
fine.
Show. Yeah, so that he's fine. And then I had people tweeting me wondering if there was a suspension coming. It's like, you know, guys, sometimes they just like to do a title change at a house show. It's not, you know, it doesn't happen often, but it's certainly not a first. But that is
when we were
for
growing
today.
Up, it happened all the time, right? So
it certainly did more often, yeah, that's for sure. And I, you know, as a fan, would be disappointing that it didn't happen in my area. Yeah, but I didn't get to go to all the house shows anyway, so I didn't lose any sleep over it. As long as they had that footage to show, I was, and it was the guy that I wanted to win, I was happy. But that'll do it for today. Everybody, check out John's work, TJRWrestling.net. John, what's your Twitter handle again?
At John Report, and I appreciate you having me on again. I appreciate the time and everything. I hope the audio sounded fine. I know it started off probably not great, but next time I know I'll just talk on my phone. So there you go. That's easier.
All right. Very good, John. Thank you so much for joining me today. And again, everybody, Will Pruitt should be back, I believe. We haven't even I keep saying that, but I haven't double-checked with Will. But he just was traveling today, and so a big thanks to John for joining me. Monday, July 24th, the day after WWE Battleground, is our next live special, and that will take place at 3 Central, 4 Eastern time at pwaudio.net. Remember, the day after WWE pay-per-view events is when we are on live. And thank you to those who took the time. Johnny Fairplay called in. We got some email questions. And a big thanks to everybody who contributed to the show. Or if you were just in listen-only mode, we definitely appreciate it. Join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw. And Jake Barnett will have live coverage of WWE SmackDown on Tuesday. And Zach Zimmerman will be back with NXT live coverage on Wednesday. So the live coverage just keeps rolling on here the next couple of days. It's been a busy stretch here with all New Japan shows, Impact Wrestling, and then all these Friday night. I thought I could sneak out. Wrong. All sorts of craziness happening on Friday night. So it's been a fun time in wrestling, and hopefully we'll continue. But thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Take care.